Last week, we lost a very important person to our family. We lost Miss Maxine Beam. Maxine was almost 99 years old, and she's been an icon in this sport ever since she walked into that first time in the ring. She was very important to us, so many people, including myself. I have some very fond memories of Maxine. So I was looking for someone that knew Max very well, and I found somebody up here that we all know and love, Elaine Mitchell, a handler in her own right. She's done incredible things, but she worked for Maxine for 7 years as a youngster. So today in the interview chair, we have Elaine Mitchell. Hi, everybody. Today we have Elaine Mitchell on the interview chair. And if anybody didn't know, Elaine was a longtime assistant of the famous Maxine Beam. How are you today, Elaine?
I'm fine. Well, how are you doing?
I'm good. It's good to see you.
Good to see you. Long time no see you.
I know, yeah. All right. Well, you're comfortable. Are you ready to begin?
I'm ready to go.
Okay, before we start into, I want to talk about Max. First, I want everybody to catch up on you. Tell me how you got into dogs, Elaine.
Well, I grew up on a farm, so there was lots of dogs, horses, pigs, cats, what name it. And I always loved it. And when I was young, we used to go into the sportsman show.
In Toronto. Where was your farm?
No, in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan.
Okay.
And because my dad was an avid sportsman, as was I. And the dog show people always had a big display there to advertise the upcoming dog show.
Okay.
And that's where I met Bill Dawson.
Oh, Bill Dawson.
Yeah. Yes. Back in the day.
Canadian judge.
Yes. So then when we moved into the city, every time there was a dog show.
Which city is this?
Prince Albert, Saskatchewan.
Oh, right into Prince Albert. Okay, sorry.
Okay. We moved into town, and whenever the dog show came, I was a total annoyance to everybody that was there. I'm sure people like Pat Tripp and Paul Boer and the likes could have, like, killed me, but nonetheless, I hung around and annoyed them.
How old were you, Elaine?
Oh, I was probably 13, 14. Okay. And then when I went to high school, I started taking driving lessons, and I took driving lessons not from, but with a lady called Mary Oliver. And she said, I have Maltese. Do you want me to come and help me brush them? And I said, oh, okay. So that's how that affiliation started. And then a couple of summers, I went to work at a kennel in Calgary. And they had an assortment of dogs. They had Irish setters. They had Vizslas. That was their main breed. They had the odd cocker. They had some poolie. And they were refugees from Hungary. And he was rather from the royalty, I think. And when he came over here, he made a living training hunting dogs. And it was really educational. And I worked there for 2 summers, and that was how I got my first purebred dog, an Irish setter.
Oh, wow. Good.
Yes, which is my favorite breed. I'm just too old and tired to run with them now.
Okay, so what happened from there?
So I got the Irish setter, and Mary Oliver and I started going to dog shows. And took my old Irish setter and a couple of Maltese. And we did pretty well, you know, as well as could be. The first show I showed my Irish setter at, I went fourth in the group.
Oh, wow.
And, that was bad because it was like hooked from then on.
Oh, yeah.
As if I hadn't already been. But so then Bill Dawson knew that I was really, really interested in dogs. So he said, why don't you write to this lady? She comes up on the Okanagan circuit every year. And so I wrote to Maxine Beam. and she said, come out and meet me on the Okanagan circuit and we'll see how you do. So I went out there and she had this old pet dog called Whitey Beam, who had more hair, he was a toy poodle, more hair than any standard poodle you could imagine. Maxine was big on hair. And so she put me to brushing Whitey Beam, which I did religiously every day. And I guess she thought I'd be all right. And so she couldn't take me right then, but she sent me to work in a kennel for Don and Eileen Berlant in Portland, Oregon. They had boxers, and they had lovely boxers that went back to Bangaway. And so I spent a year there and went. Then I went to Maxine, and the rest is history.
I want to hear all about that history.
So anyway, off I went to Maxine's, and it was culture shock for the little farm girl from Saskatchewan, I can tell you.
So where was Maxine?
Maxine was in Fort Worth, Texas. And for the first couple of years or 3 years, I lived beside a grooming shop where her friends had a pet grooming shop. So I learned to do a lot of pet grooming stuff and stuff like that there between helping Maxine out on the weekends and then going out to her kennel, which was run by her friend. And I learned to do like show poodles. And Ed Bibben taught me to shave poodle feet.
Now, what year was this?
Oh my God. When did I go down to work for Maxine? It was 19. I got out of high school in 64. So it would have been 65, 66. Okay. Yeah, so.
I was one.
So I worked for her for 7 years, and it was an education.
Well, I'm sure.
It was an education like people don't get now. She was mean as a snake. I cried the whole first 3 years, and everybody said, there, it's okay. She'll get over it. And she always did. But I learned to do things right, you know. Yeah. There was no whining or saying I can't or whatever. You did it, and you did it right. And you couldn't quit because she'd like kill you or sell you to another handler or something, you know. So I'd be there crying my eyes out, brushing poodles, you know. And of course, to Maxine, every hair was sacred. And if she was coming along back to the setup or back into the grooming room and there was hair in the brush, I'd have that hair out of the brush and in my pocket so fast. I'm sure she thought I never brushed a hair out of the dog.
So, what from, do you know any of the background about Max? Did she ever teach you any of that? Like, where she began?
She started in Cocker's, and I don't know exactly how she started, but she had Cocker's for a long time, and then she got into poodles, and I know she bred Cocker's and poodles. And in the beginning, she kept her dogs at, because she lived in the city of Fort Worth, she kept her dogs at her vet's. She had two vets, and she used to go there every day. And then after I'd been there for a couple of years, she bought a lovely place in the country, and I moved out there with her.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. So that was good. So,
you mentioned when I brought this up to you, you mentioned Clara Alford to me.
Oh, stupidest mistake ever of my life.
Hang on a second. I gotta get
Maxine and Clara. Were really, really, really close friends. They would set up together at shows and...
Before we start the story, can you just explain who Clara Alford was to people that don't understand?
Clara Alford was the queen of Pekingese at that time. Practically the queen of the toy group.
Yeah.
She won the group at the garden with the Venerables... Pekingese Chick to Shut son of Caversham. She won the best in show at the garden.
Yep.
She won the group at the garden with a Chihuahua whose name I can't remember, but everybody knew Chick the son.
Oh, for sure. He actually had some Canadian ties too as well.
Yes, absolutely, to Bill and Nigel.
Yeah.
And anyway, Clara only showed little dogs, but before I went to work for Maxine, she showed a lot of big dogs. She loved boxers, showed lots of them, and showed shepherds. She loved shepherds too. And she showed shepherds for Langscarda.
Oh, wow.
So Langscarda became very near and dear to me because he was always saving me from some disaster. He would always say, "Don't do that. It won't go well." Maxine won't like it. So anyway, Lang was always very, very kind to me. So
let's
anyway,
go back to Clara. Finish
yeah,
your
back
Clara
to Cla- story. Back to Clara. I'm easily sidetracked. One time Maxine chose to not go on the Florida circuit. And she said, "Well, Clara's looking for somebody. Do you want to go with Clara?" Well, I was terrified of Maxine, but I was even more terrified of Clara. Clara was Navajo, and her husband, Al, who was a deer, used to be a rum runner back in the days when Oklahoma was dry. And then when they opened it up, Al was unemployed. So it was up to Clara. But when Clara got mad, clear the decks. So I was like petrified. And so I opted to not go, which was probably the stupidest thing I ever did in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and she really was a kind person, but I hadn't been down there that long and it was just a little bit overwhelming. But when Clara died, she left all her jewelry. She was famous for her Navajo jewelry. She had necklaces, she had bracelets, she had belts. And it was worth a fortune then. I can't imagine what it's worth now. Anyway, she left it all to Maxine, and Maxine's house was robbed. And that was the closest I ever saw Maxine come to cry, because she really, really loved Clara. And that meant so much to her, that stuff. So anyway, I hope it burns a hole in the skin of the people that have it now.
Okay.
So anyway, but we had lots of good times with Clara and lots of laughs. And I went to visit them at their house one time with Maxine, and Al was sitting in his chair and he says, "You see that picture up there?" And I said, "Yes." And it was one of these typical Indian pictures with headdress and feathers and the whole hoo-ha. And he looks at me and he says, "That's the meanest Indian that ever lived." And I looked at him like, and he said, "That's Geronimo." Like I should. Of course, I'd heard of Geronimo. But,
of course.
But you know, there were so many characters back then, mm-hmm. you know, before the AKC said we must, you know, be like little cookie cutters.
So can you... you touched on Lang. Can you touch on Lang and Max's relationship at all for me?
They were very, very, very close friends. He at shows, he would always come over and visit, whether he was judging or not. And even then, when he was judging, he would come over and visit. And they would talk about shepherds and things like that. So, and just talk about dogs in general. And
you ever tell you?
Cheer me up when need me.
Did Max ever tell you about her mentors who were really important to her that brought her into dogs?
No. Forrest Hall was one. Mm-hmm. And there were some fellows that showed for Forrest Hall, and I cannot remember their names, but I think, you know, she followed them about a lot. But kind of at that time, when she started out, I think Texas was kind of like, learn by the seat of your pants.
Oh yeah.
So.
Well, she got good at it.
Oh, she sure did. Very good, and got some lovely clients
too.
So, well, they were lovely, because if they weren't, they wouldn't stay long. She never showed Pekingese because she didn't like the Pekingese people, which was why she says, well, I like the breed, I just don't like the people, which is why she wanted me to go with Clara to learn Pekingese.
For sure, yeah. Do you remember did she ever tell you what her favorite shows were?
Dallas Fort Worth shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fort Worth was always, she was a member of the club.
I think the Red Jackets.
Yeah. But she always showed at that show, but she was instrumental in other things. And I think, what is her name? I'm thinking that, okay, we'll come back to that. what is her name? Dorothy Nichols. She and Dorothy Nichols were good friends. And
another character, my gosh.
Absolutely. And so much fun, you know.
I didn't realize until you told me that they both did the circuits in BC. I didn't realize.
Well, Maxine did the circuit in BC, which was where all the California handlers came up. So I met them before we went on the Texas circuit. And Dorothy Nichols used to come up on the Saskatchewan circuit.
Oh, wow, Saskatchewan.
And she had standard poodles, and she showed them both in obedience and in confirmation. So that was before I really sort of knew who Dorothy Nichols was. She was just one of these other people I followed around.
So let's go back. I'm going to bounce around a bit. Your mentors, then, Elaine, who are your mentors? Obviously,
Maxine. And my parents, who were farms, so they were animal people. And you learn pretty quick that as long as there was animals, there was no time off, because they always came first. Who are some other people? Barbara Humphreys, of course. I worked for a short time for Barbara, in between other things. Who else? I wrote on the list. Barbara Humphreys, Pat Tripp. I worked for Pat Tripp for a little bit.
Now, did you tell me earlier that Max and Pat were quite close as well?
Max and Pat were very good friends. Again, very tight. And
some of these new viewers or our listeners might not remember who Pat Tripp is. Can you just give us a quick rundown?
Pat Tripp was a handler from Vancouver, BC. Mm-hmm. And she was one of the top handlers of her time.
Anywhere.
And she was very powerful in the Pacific Northwest in the States. And she was always at odds with the AKC over something. but nonetheless, she did really, really well.
Well, two of her most famous apprentices are Tim Brazier.
And Susan Hillman, who we all loved. Yeah. And we all loved Tim.
Sure. So they were close. Did you spend time with Pat as well then when you were working with Max?
No, when I worked with Max, I worked with Max. But Maxine would come up to judge every now and then, and she and Pat would get together and go to dinner. And there you go. Yeah. Yeah. So they always kept in touch.
When did Maxine retire from handling it and start judging?
Oh, boy, I have to remember. That was when I came back up here to show dogs.
Until her retirement?
Pardon?
Were you working for Maxine until her retirement?
Absolutely. If she was still showing, I'd probably still be working for her. Because I'd be afraid to quit. But Maxine was always very kind to me in many ways, and she was one of the most loyal people you would ever meet in your life.
Yeah.
Every summer, this was before the age of the big campaign, she would take the summer off and she would send me up to Canada with the dogs that she'd start showing in the fall. So I had dogs to bring to Canada and experiment with that, you know, most people would never be able to get their hands on.
Sure.
So, and that was really, really wonderful. I got to try out everything I learned.
And that was good for the dogs too, because they knew. Absolutely.
She always said, bring them back trained.
There you go.
Trained and hairy.
So So you, what year did she retire? Do you remember that now?
No, but I worked for her for 7 years. I'm not good with numbers and years and stuff like that. It kind of all goes by, but.
So yeah, did you keep in contact with her after you?
Yeah. We would stay in touch from time to time. I'd phone her every once in a while to shriek about, you know, the judging of whatever, wherever. And she'd say, there, it's okay. They're not all geniuses and you can't be accountable for how they point the finger. With Maxine, it was like very much a business. Mm-hmm. You know, you looked after them, you trained them, you made them happy, you made them show, you did their job. Judges were supposed to do their job. And that was it.
I was supposed to remind you about a story about Ramona Van Court.
Oh dear. Well, one time when I was first down there.
You have to tell people who all these people are because.
Yeah. Yes, Ramona and her husband were very, very famous judges. And Ramona was a bit abrupt. And I remember we were on the Texas circuit, which was a whole world in itself, and came to Dallas and Fort Worth, which was like kind of the climax, the two big shows. And we were in Fort Worth and Maxine was stuck in something and I had to show one of the poodle specials. And the drill is you always tell the ring steward and you tell the judge, the handler's coming, can I please get to the end of the line? And everybody would say, pardon? And the judges would all say, oh, that's okay, yada, yada, yada. So I went in, and I think Maxine might have not remembered who was judging. So I went in and did my little spiel, and she ripped a strip off of me from one end to the other. And I was showing this little toy poodle, bawling my eyes out. I mean, she was really evil. And you should never speak to the judge, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do that. I was like devastated that I'd made a faux pas. And Maxine never did come, so I had to show through, which was probably 15 toy poodle specials at the time. And between Fort Worth and Dallas was Margie Tranchin's big party. Well, Margie Tranchin was Maxine's main client. And we all went to the party, and Mrs. Van Court was there, of course. Well, Maxine went up to her and absolutely shredded her. Don't ever you speak to my assistant like that, whatever. I mean, in front of God and everybody, she told her how the cow ate the cabbage, pretty much. But if you were a good friend of Maxine, or if she liked you, she always had your back. There was no... even if she would yell at you every now and then, she would still have your back.
I believe that, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously by showing to her, I didn't know her personally. I spoke to her a couple times, actually, after she retired from judging, just to check on her. But she was one of my most favorite to show to. She was always the same. She was point blank and straightforward, and she always asked how old the dog was. Yeah. She was always the same. I love showing to her.
Yeah. She really knew dogs. You know, there's no question. One of the most knowledgeable people in the world. And I just learned so much from her. You know, it was amazing. It was like an experience nobody will ever have the fortune to have now, that's for sure.
Were there other assistants? Well, obviously there were. Do you know of any of the other apprentices that worked under her?
Yes. Timmy Brazier worked for her for a while. While Maxine was trying to get a green card for me to go down. And, but her other assistants didn't end up showing dogs. She had one that was a German Shepherd breeder bred, lovely Shepherd. She married a veterinarian, that was that. And the other one ended up being a veterinarian.
Oh, that's good.
So that's okay.
Did Max breed any dogs afterwards?
No. She pretty much quit breeding toy poodles when I started working for her. I think Whitey Beam was one of the last.
What were some of the dogs that she showed that we would all remember and know?
Oh, she had a lovely, lovely miniature poodle called Momart Spartat by Jingo, who was a beautiful dog. She did a lot of winning with him. And then she had another bitch called Sally, and I can't remember Sally's name. What was Sally's name? I don't know, but she was beautiful. She was really nice. And they were both from England. And when England sort of led the world in miniature poodles. She had this beautiful mini wire-haired dachshund called Wee Jenny. And again, I don't remember Jenny's kennel name. And Roy Lee Murray was showing at the same time this little miniature dachshund called Little John. And Little John and Wee Jenny used to duke it out at every show, and they were both lovely. Both lovely. Maxine showed quite a few dachshunds, actually. And she showed some nice corgis for a lady called Rita Parsons. And what else? Well, you know, that was in the age where you didn't have a top special that hung around for several years. You know, there wasn't the big campaign now where you build up a year and then you go for a year. And Maxine always used to say, I get tired of them after a year. I think she showed Jingo the most of all. She specialed some toy poodles for Dan and Betty Jo Gallus in Dallas. And she had some nice little ones from them. And she always had a special for them, but they always were focused on class dogs. You know, it was getting a champion. And if you were going well, the special could go too. She showed millions of Maltese and Yorkies.
Size of her string?
Oh, we'd go to a show with 15 dogs or so. Yeah, everything was hair. Mm-hmm. Maltese, Yorkies, poodles, Shelties, which is a breed I love. Silky Terriers. If it had hair and it fit in the van, we showed it.
Well, when you ventured out on your own and started showing dogs, you became very famous for your hair, obviously.
Yeah.
Bichons, did she guide you in Bichons at all too?
No, Bichons weren't recognized when she was handling. And I showed Terry's for a lady called Irene Smith in Winnipeg, who was Linda Smith's mother.
Okay, yeah.
And Irene taught me a lot about grooming terriers. And I sort of adapted what I saw people doing in the States, what Irene did with the Terries, and just a few other things. And then, you know, you experiment. Do I want it to look like this? Do I want it to look like that? Is this what Bichons should look like?
I was just a kid, but I can still remember the pictures in the magazines of Bichons, one after another.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was a zillion of those, I'll tell you, for Helen Casper. She had some really nice ones.
So back to Max. Well, she's retired now, and she's judging, and you guys stay in touch. Did you ever show to her much yourself, or was that just uncomfortable?
Oh, I showed to her every now and then. Whenever she came up on a panel where I was going, I was always terrified. It wouldn't be fat enough. It would be too fat. It would have too much hair, not enough hair, you know, but it was yet again a learning experience. And I remember once I showed a Cavalier to her in the bred by exhibitor class. And she looked at the dog and she put him up and she gave him best of winners and some really nice famous dog won the breed. But when we were getting the picture taken, she said to me, "This is really a good one, isn't it?" And I thought, oh my God. The biggest compliment in the world. And then I used to write for a magazine called Royal Spaniels, and I used to write an article every month. And one day she said to me, I read your articles and I'm really proud of you. And I thought,
oh. And that would mean the world.
Oh my God, that meant the world to me.
Yeah. So unfortunately, with the passing of Max, there'll be a lot of people reminiscing, and that's why I asked you about this.
Right.
What do you think she would think of the dog shows today? It wasn't that long ago that she retired, but...
No, I know. I would think, like the rest of us, that were, there would be a free, few really good ones and a lot of track. She wouldn't have a lot of patience with the people who didn't put the time in and the effort in to make their dogs look the part and show the part. She was the queen of conditioning. You know, everything had to be in the right way. If it was too skinny, its front was everywhere. If it's too fat, its front was somewhere else. She was front phobic. It had to be in the right weight. It had to be in the right hair. You had to move it exactly so. I think she would not be so impressed with a lot of the drama in the ring. She would like people to show dogs. I used to love to watch, well, I watched her a lot. I used to love to watch Frank Sabella and Pat Tripp and Barbara Humphreys. And their styles were all so different. Like Frank was full of flair. Frank and Pat Tripp had both been dancers in their first lives. And Frank was full of flair. He could make them look lovely. He could make them showy, as could Pat Tripp. Pat Tripp could sell anything in the ring, I swear to God. She'd go in and she'd have this tragic little thing on the lead, and she looked at that thing like it was about to go best of breed at the Garden, and everybody fell for it. But Maxine was one of those that would screw their little feet to the floor and bend their little legs into shape, and nobody could ever find anything wrong with them. You know, so it was, they were such different styles. Barbara was kind of in between. I love to watch Barbara. You know, there's so many different people out there with so many different styles that.
Oh, for sure.
You know, to learn. But those are four of the ones that I really watched a lot. You know, your mentors don't have to be people that sit down and tell you stuff. You just have to pay attention. Sure. And I think that's another problem. People don't pay attention.
It's interesting how you talk about her attention to detail and the dog she showed and conditioned and whatnot. She was like that too when she was judging, because I guess all the line on the table where we had to have the dog exactly there, or if we're judging outside, that shade line had to be just enough that she was inside the shade as well. Like being at the Arizona National, I was a few dogs behind and the dog out in the sun. Back that. Why do I have to stand out in the sun and look at these dogs? Back them up.
Oh, I can hear now.
Oh yeah. No one is listening to me. Will.
Oh, they did.
I had a dog I was specialing at the time, which is the National, and his Addy. But I also had Beef in the Veterans Dog class, and Max had been a fan of Beefs.
Yeah.
She gave him the Veterans Dog class. I went back in on Addy, and my dad was there, so he stayed. He showed Beef and the breed. So she's over my special. She said, who's back there with the old dog? I said, that's my father. So when it came time to make the cut, she put a few of us up front. Then she started screaming, Dad, Dad, bring him up here.
See, you've got some good Maxine stories too.
He was great. He was wonderful to me. I had such a great time showing to her.
Yeah. Well, you didn't piss her off then.
No, I tried not to. Whenever there was a dog that was questionable and I couldn't make it, you always question the handler. Like, where was this? Why is this dog like this? I had done a nose on a dog one time. I think it was actually Colin that showed it for me in the breed. and it was a liver nose. And Colin said, well, it's Will's dog. So when she got to my dog, she said, I won't kick you out if you tell me what you used on his nose. I couldn't get it off.
Well, I remember one time we showed a dog, and his color was quite questionable. And she didn't want to show it like that. But Maxine was kind of by the rules, you know, so she would never buy a dog. So she got this some kind of concoction that wasn't really dye, and then she made me do it because she never dyed a dog.
You remember the last, you remember the last time you worked for her, you remember the last day?
Yes, it was sad.
Yeah.
And she sent me home with a vanload of dogs to show up here. And it was kind of like the end of an era.
Yeah. Yeah. 7 years, that's unheard of.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just, back then, I think.
It was more the norm, but.
Yeah, handlers back then, if you worked for a handler, that's what you did. And at that time, assistant handlers were licensed as well as handlers. And so you were licensed to your handler. And I can remember when we went to the garden one time and Maxine had a special. It was okay. And she had this beautiful dog in the classes that she just loved. Well, she went best of winter. Colin's making me laugh. Anyway, she went West of Winters with this dog she just loved, and she wanted to stay on him for the breed and wanted me to show the special. She had to find the AKC rep to get permission to drop the special and show the class dog. Yeah, so she did a little scrambling and it all worked out. But
did she end up winning?
No, she didn't win the breed, but Pest of Winters. Yeah. So, yeah. No, she really loved this dog. He was a pretty little dog too. So he was a Jingo son, I think.
What do you think? If you could go back and talk to the 20-year-old Maxine, you think there would be any advice she'd want to give you then, or advice that, let's say, you went back before you worked for Maxine, what advice would you give yourself?
What advice would I give myself? To pay more attention to whatever all the other handlers were doing. I didn't get to watch as much as I liked. Mm-hmm. Because she ran a pretty tight ship and there was always something to do with 15 hairy dogs.
Well, for sure.
But she didn't mind me going watching other stuff. It's just there was always something to do. The other thing she would have told me is, like, count your pennies. Maxine was extremely good with money. So I think she would have lectured me a bit on that. But I think she would still have, you know, made me walk the straight and narrow. Styles have changed and haircuts on the dogs have changed and things have changed, which Maxine was aware of and was, you know, she wasn't backward about being forward at all. But I think she really drilled the basics into people. You know, when you had to do the basics before you could do anything else. You know, you had to learn to brush a poodle out before you could spray it up.
Did she ever tell you what her favorite breed was?
Well, she really had a fond spot for cockers, but I think toy poodles probably.
What she showed then.
Yeah.
Well, it was a sad day when we lost Max. So.
No, it sure was. You know, I mean, she was 99, but still it was a shock, you know.
Yeah, so. And we all have such good stories about her, so I imagine you have some great stories and great memories.
Yeah, yeah. I just have to remember them all.
I'm glad you shared some of them with us today, though. Your time. Is there any last thing you want to say about Max before we call it a night?
Well, there'll just be nobody else like her. There'll be nobody else. No, it was a whole, not only it was Maxine, but it was a whole different era. And like I said, assistants were tied to the people they worked for. If you wanted to be a handler, you were an assistant, and you were an assistant for till the handler said you could be a handler. And you could either handle for, or you could either work for a handler, or you could work for a kennel. And people just were more focused on reality then. You know, they were focused on what made a good dog. I show quite a bit in Europe where there are very few handlers, but the people that show are quite a bit the same. You know, they're more focused on basic dogs, breeding good dogs, not so much on the run for top dog or drama, or still, well, there was plenty then, because you know, there were characters. There were Pat Tripp, there was Lina Biscuit, there was Frank Sabella. There was all these wonderful, wonderful people, you know. You
sit on your stool and set up Russian poodles watching them all. So.
Oh, absolutely. So, but no, I think it's the time that we won't see again, which is sad. I hope that everybody today sort of gets back into, it's about the dogs mode, you know, not about, it's about the ribbons mode.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Elaine. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Will. And we'll talk to you again.
Yes. Thank you. It was great.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thank you, Elaine. I'm sure that was difficult talking about Max, but it was some lovely memories, and we all were thrilled to hear them, and it was nice to listen to you talk so fondly about your mentor. Thank you again for your time, and I hope you all enjoyed that interview. I know I did. It made me think back on a lot of things that I knew about Max and that I didn't know about Max, so I'm really thrilled that we did that. Well, till next week, guys. Talk to you soon.